fuel for thought.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Ford Motor Company keeps saying it'll make money in 2 years, but alas, the plight of the automobile company in this recession has toppled those big dreams. That's why with this morning's earnings report from Ford, you might get the wrong idea that they are making money. They're not. Ford said it earned $2.3 billion for the second quarter, but it did so only because of a big stock-for-cash swap back in March. We just got word just a moment ago that AT&T said earnings fell 15% in the second quarter. And we also got word from Europe that Credit Suisse reported higher profits, up 29%. But some there are hoping to rein in banks and protect consumers. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
A British advocacy group wants to stop the banks charging what they call excessive interest rates. So they want to restore the old usury laws. The group includes labour unionists, community workers and members from all the main faiths. It's called London Citizens. They argue that banks should not be allowed to charge more than 10% for loans. At the moment, they claim the British banks are profiteering. They borrow from the Bank of England at a half of 1% and then lend to their customers at up to 25%. Maurice Glassman of London Citizens says this kind of greedy behaviour caused the credit crunch.
The root of the problems for the banks was that they charged loans at very high rates of interest, and there was huge defaulting, which we now call toxic loan, of the subprime mortgage crisis.
His group has joined forces with a similar American body, the Industrial Areas Foundation. They plan to lobby the governments on both sides of the pond to curb what they call extortionate lending. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
European markets are down under 0.5% right now. Pretty much mixed in Europe right now with the DAX up just a tad. Asian shares closed mostly higher today. On Wall Street yesterday, S&P shares were flat. The Dow lost a little ground and the NASDAQ added about 0.5%. The old song from the band goes something like this. Look out, Cleveland. Storm is coming through. In this case, President Obama is said weather front, and he hopes the winds of change will be health care reform. He's using the Cleveland Clinic as a role model for what he'd like to get done.
They've set up a system where patient care is the number one concern, not bureaucracy, what forms have to be filled out, what do we get reimbursed for. Those are changes that I think the American people want to see.
The president at his White House news conference last night, health care reform, of course, tops his agenda. There's a new study out today that makes an economic case for rebuilding dwindling fish populations as quickly as possible. The Pew Environment Group report aims to answer ongoing complaints about federal catch limits on overfished species. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sarah Gardner.
Right now, nearly a quarter of U.S. fish stocks are badly depleted. Federal law now requires that most overfished species be rebuilt within 10 years. That means imposing strict annual quotas on how much fishermen can catch. Commercial fishermen and charter boat operators complain the quotas are killing their business. But the Pew study suggests the short-term economic pain is worth it. Lee Crockett is director of federal fisheries policy at Pew.
The longer you drag this out, the harder it is for the stock to rebound, because if you continue to allow overfishing at a too high rate, the population is going to continue to decline and you're going to have to make larger cuts.
The study argues that if just 4 mid-Atlantic species had been rebuilt by 2007, the commercial and recreational fishing industries would be making over $500 million more each year than they are now. But fishing groups in New York and New Jersey are pushing legislation in Congress that would loosen federal rules on overfishing. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
We're set to get first-time unemployment claim numbers this morning. While new claims, for the most part, have come down week by week, the unemployment rate, a more lagging indicator, continues to be high. So what does that mean for the economy? We're joined by economics correspondent Chris Farrell to talk about how employment figures into any upturn that may be on its way. Morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. So when the people who determine these things write the book or stamp this recession as done, what will be the consensus, do you think, concerning job creation after this period?
What job creation is going to be another jobless recovery. I mean, think about this, Steve. The last downturn, when we had the tech bubble burst, it took about 4 years for the labor market to rebound. Now, we're going through the Great Recession, the longest and most severe downturn since the Great Depression. And that's why we're going to see a slow uptick in the job market.
So, I mean, what kind of jobs are we talking about? Where will these jobs come from if they are created down the road?
Healthcare and education. And also skilled workers are going to continue to get jobs. And I see a rebound in manufacturing. Manufacturing has just been devastated. It has been devastated. They've cut way below the bone. They cut into that bone. And so I don't think it's going to take much of a pickup in demand for all of a sudden employers to go, oh, we got to fill these orders. Because employers, I don't know about the employers you know, Steve, but, you know, most employers I know, they don't want to pass on orders. And they're going to work their existing workforce harder, but I think they've cut so deep, they're going to have to add some workers.
Does the fact, Chris, that we're a nation of not so much producing anymore, a little more consuming, affect the type of recovery that we have? I mean, it's true. I mean, we're not producing as much as we used to, and we certainly are buying a lot of stuff. Does that affect the type of recovery we have?
We're going to have a slow recovery in jobs. And one of the reasons is just what you've hit on. We're making a transition from an economy that is almost completely driven by the consumer and consumer borrowing, household borrowing. People are saving more. Growth will be slow. And when you have slow growth, employers are going to work their existing workforce harder and are going to be very reluctant and slow to hire new workers.
Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joining us this morning. We're going to hear you on Marketplace Money this week, right?
That's right. Every week. And it's fun.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Hope you can join us online in the Scratchpad with online host and blogger Scott Jagow inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.